Are you talking to me now?
No.
I'm ready when you are.
Cool.
Me too. I recognised both of these, and I thought, well, that without checking in the fridge, I thought the reason why I recognise them must be because we have them. But I thought, yeah, I don't know. I went in and checked, and I thought, oh, I don't have two of these. And I looked back only till last year, and I thought, there's one. I won't even bother looking at the other one because I was doing other things then. There we go. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's probably still 30 in there. I don't think we're getting that. We've probably still got a couple. Yeah. We're not going to. Oh, are you already live? Ah, so I can keep my comments. Yeah. No one likes reruns. I don't know.
I am Ross. Joining me is my host, Ian. And together with a whole lot of audio problems and interruptions, we attempt to drink Nova Scotia dry. I'm adding this after the fact because the original air date of this May 21st, 2025, I muted myself for a change. So it's just a whole lot of Ian talking to himself, as you could hear in the intro. So what we're drinking tonight is the chocolate stout from Roof Hand and the cozy oatmeal stout from Nine Locks. I'm trying to edit through some of it, and Ian does wax poetic and say some delightful things, but unfortunately, I just couldn't chop it all together. So we join the action in progress as we've already had our first many sips of the cozy oatmeal, I believe. But yeah, enjoy the second half of this when my audio starts working finally. Ugh, I'm so bad at this.
Are you talking about this when you can get like a you can get like a spiciness to an ESB? Because some of them do have it, but that's not necessarily true of all of them. Or even, I guess maybe I'm just looking at a traditional English bitter. They're not all particularly spicy. They don't have a or particularly malty either. Why don't you look it up and say what denotes an English style bitter? Because I think they're a very, very broad range.
But bitter seems to be the most important part. Can you get an ESB without bitter? Here we go. No. ESB, or extra special bitter, is defined by its medium to high bitterness. While the bitterness shouldn't overpower the malt, it's a key characteristic of the style.
So the maltiness you can, is still there.
Yeah, you can have a malt. We've had a malty ESB before.
And the malt by its own is quite a sweet experience as well. A maltiness, to me, it adds sweetness to it.
We didn't drink ESBs, and yet we still ended up talking about ESBs.
I know.
I also have something exciting to announce. It's possible. I was watching some of these levels earlier, and something happened where it seems like I think for the first time ever, my volume cut out entirely. So my audio might be missing until just a few minutes ago. So this time it's just you talking to yourself. Because I don't know. I'm going to go back and have to listen to that one. Of course, I've fallen very far behind on updating anything. The YouTube edits and the podcast and the everything. So everything's just a little bit far behind. But luckily... droves of fans are not beating down my door demanding the latest episode in any shape or form.
No, life kind of gets in the way of these things. That's why once a week on a Wednesday for an hour or so is just about as much as
life
you and I could.
Takes a back seat while we do this for a good hour and 5-10 minutes. And I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with this, drinking this. I quite like it. While at the same time, I'm struggling to recognize it as a stout.
That's my thing too. I'm drinking it and I'm thinking, yeah, this is all right. But all it's really doing is making me think to myself, kind of wish I had a stout.
and yet the other one
The other one's
I
there.
Was not excited about because I thought it lacked some individuality. It lacked a character. And yet it's like a bog standard oatmeal stout to me. At least it's stouty.
Mm.
This one has something going on, and yet it doesn't have the consistency or the body that I would expect from a stout.
Yeah.
They're both sort of a little missy for me.
That's what I was thinking too, but in slightly different ways. One is one missed the chocolate part, and the other one missed the body part.
So therefore, what do we do? We take one and pour it into the other.
I mean, yeah, that's an option.
I'll stop doing it. Yeah, no, you probably could do that with a tiny little bit of it. Maybe what the hell? I'm going to get a glass and I'm going to pour one into the other, but not all of it, just a fingerful to see what happens.
I think that's even crazier than normal.
Oh, this is alchemy.
Oatmeal.
This is alchemy at table level on a Wednesday evening. Turn base metals into beer. Here we go. There we go. It's one of those. And now the stout body. This is where wow, that looks good. This should be more chocolatey with a slightly...
And I don't think that the Roofhound one is chocolatey enough to add a chocolate flavor to the Nine Locks one. I don't think it is. So I don't think the mix is going the experiment is going to go as well as you hoped, but
no, you're right.
to be a explosion.
It's a bit now like flat Diet Coke. Sorry, didn't go well at all.
No, that's the worst of both. Actually, is what's happened there.
Yeah, that's not good. As an experiment, that failed miserably. Back to the drawing board.
Okay.
I did leave several fingers of the.
Yep.
This cozy. We rather whipped through that. Were we in a hurry this evening or something? No. Just well,
sometimes,
I got the peanut.
Sometimes we have three. Even though they're like, 355. Sometimes we do three with the small cans, if we have some small cans. But, maybe... I have been accused on more than one occasion of drinking quickly. But I do try to keep an eye on the time. You know, I don't want to wander off and be here for hours and hours. Well, I would. But then it's a bit much. I feel like a one-hour session is what... anyone who is of the mind of consuming this kind of content is looking for, right?
Yeah, like that one person. Typically it lasts an hour, but we'd started 5 minutes late. It's only a quarter to nine. Now, remember at the top of your podcast, I said, no one likes a rerun.
Mm.
I've been thinking about that, and it's rubbish, isn't it? Absolute nonsense.
I rewatch my favorite episodes all the time.
Well, this is what I was about to say. If someone like duct taped you to a chair and held your eyes open like Clockwork Orange style for 24 hours, I said you're not allowed to move from here while we re-show you a movie over this 24-hour period, a rerun we're going with here. When I was 15, my mother, way back there in Stone Age times, you know, when I was 15 years old, we had to move caves. My mother moved from one to another, and I had to go with her. And as a result, this was during the summer holidays, the summer holiday break of school, recess, I believe you call it. So 6 weeks we have in the UK. We don't have 9 weeks like they do here. We have 6 weeks. But we had our television disappear for 6 weeks. Now, this was in the days when you had little rabbit ears on top of your TV to get your reception from, but we couldn't get any of that. And for 6 weeks, then we had no TV during the summer holidays. But prior to us moving caves, we had a VHS recorder, and we recorded a couple of items, and I had a VHS 3-hour videotape, and on said videotape was they just showed on TV, on terrestrial television, A New Hope, Star Wars. So I videoed that, which is like 2 hours long, something like that, and an episode of Magnum PI. I kind of snuck on the end there. So for about 6 weeks, my brother and I would get up every day. I watched Star Wars, A New Hope, 27 times during that summer recess. I could name, I could start from, and I could do pretty much every word.
Oh yeah.
Until
you'd recite
Rowling's. But if you were made to watch something, a movie, for 24 hours, and it was your choice which one you would have to, not Groundhog Day, you're not allowed Groundhog Day because that's an obvious choice. If you were made to watch one, what would it be?
Director's cut of The Abyss.
The Abyss?
Director's cut, the full 2.5 or 3 hour long version. Despite the fact that I learned later in life how awful the conditions were for filming that, and how several of the actors actually had near death experiences.
That's right, they did. It was that's James Cameron, isn't it? One of his
yeah.
I mean, they said he could be a little trying because he wanted everything to be just perfect.
And which is funny because do you know what the runner up would be? If someone said, "Oh, sorry, that's not it. We can't get the director's cut. Sorry, you got to go with your second choice." My second choice would be Terminator 2. So I think James Cameron is my. I could watch this over and over and except. I freaking hated Avatar.
What?
Hated it. It's terrible. It's so bad. And I won't even talk. I won't even legitimize Titanic. I won't.
Okay, well, forget about Titanic, because I agree with you. On the hottest day in Scotland, and they had not taken off the heating yet in the Elgin Playhouse, and it was about 29 degrees, and it was in spring, and it was completely unusual. Like I say, they hadn't turned it off, and this movie is 3 hours and 15 minutes long. And really, for the second half, I was thinking, just fucking sink, and let's get out of cinema, please. So take that away.
Yep.
I agree with you. Titanic left me cold. However, Avatar is one of my three greatest cinematic experiences of all time. And I've already said the first one. Star Wars A New Hope, to me, was as a 9-year-old sitting there in the cinema, watching that unfold would blew my mind. The second thing was The Lord of the Rings, the final one, Return of the King. I just, even though I wasn't a sort of myth and magic kind of fan, that one, watching that in the cinema, I was blown away by it. And the third one was the 3D version of Avatar in the cinema. I thought it was incredible. And you did not.
I was too wrapped up in how appalling the plot, characters, and acting was. I've watched movies that are, and it's just for the cinematography and the beauty and the scope and the, oh, look at the scenery, look what they've done, they've made a world. And I've watched those, and that I think it was because I was watching it 20 years too late. It would be like, if you'd never seen the first Jurassic Park and sitting down and saying, behold, Jurassic Park, the person would sit there and go, it's a dinosaur. So, and you're like, no, you need to understand, this is the first time we saw proper, well-done CGI and modeled dinosaur, we'd never seen this before. And this is what happened to me, maybe you were lucky, where was Rebecca, maybe not a Star Wars fan, but at least Star Wars adjacent, she knew it existed, she'd seen it, or something like that, anything like that. Brittany hadn't.
Yes.
She had none of Star Wars upbringing.
Yeah.
And I went, right. How do you handle this? How on earth do you, because our group of friends, episode 8, I think. This was when episode 8 was coming to theaters. Which one was that? You know, Rey trips over Luke or something like that. I think The Last Jedi, that's that one. So, so the thing was, to get ready for that, I said, okay, I've never forced her to watch episodes 1, 2, or 3. I've never done it because it's unnecessary to get into 7, 8. I don't need her to be a Star Wars fan. I don't need this. But going, she said, I want to go watch episode 8 in theaters. And I said, all right, we at least need 4, 5, 6. We need this. You need that. You need the beginnings. And so we watched it and I had to stop myself a lot. We paused, but we didn't pause for the reasons you think we paused. I paused the movie and I said, what you need to understand about that scene that you just watched, that one line, is that us nerds watched that 40 years ago and every day since. This one, she's just watching it, and she's just watching it like it's a movie. And I said, it's not. It's not a movie. This has been dissected, turned upside down. It has been analyzed. The number of people that have wrote thesis papers about this one stupid movie is astronomical. There are conventions wrapped around this one particular little scene. Spin-off series, this, that, characters, blah, everything. But, and she's watching it going, huh, yeah. And I said, and I'm trying so hard to say, I don't need you to find this important. I need you to be aware that 50% of the planet thinks that this is the most important scene that has ever happened, ever. Right. Like, this is the important stuff, these little lines. And I'm trying to explain, this one line that just happened right there, this has spawned, like, there are musical bands that are 7 albums deep, and they are named after a random sentence from one of these movies back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And I said, you just have to know how crazy it all is. And she
Of course, I understand. For nerds, for Star Wars fans, how important that a franchise can be. It's funny how you mentioned Jurassic Park just now, because what should we be watching 2 nights ago? Once I had finally got the my surround sound back up and working, which died about 3 or 4 hours. Excuse me,
4 hours ago.
About 3 or 4 months ago, when the adapter blew up, I finally got it, and I said to her, When we finally get the surround sound back up, can we watch Jurassic Park, the first one, please? She's never seen it. We watched it 2 nights ago, Ross. I watched it when it came out in 1993.
It was,
and for the very reason you just mentioned, the CGI effects back then, it was like you were literally watching dinosaurs walking in front of me. And yet, of course, we're watching it on this TV behind me 30-something years later. Didn't quite have the same impact, but at least it had some surround sound, which it wouldn't have done before. It would just been coming out of the TV. I said, we've got to get a
little tin box.
Yeah, she kind of enjoyed it. And that was a fantastic movie at the time. But the thing is, when I was talking about what movie would I watch over and over again if someone had to show me it? It doesn't need to be the greatest movie ever made.
Because
I'm not going to sit there and be subjected to 24 hours of Schindler's List or The Godfather or something really, really heavy. Even though they are magnificent movies, I don't want to be subjected to something that's too heavy. I think the perfect movie to watch over and over again for me, if I had a choice but didn't have a choice, because I don't want to watch the same movie 24 hours in a row, This is my rerun special. I've done Star Wars. I did that
years
ago. When we house. Right. Grease.
Huh.
Grease, the movie.
Interesting.
Just because it's disposable, incredible fun. Nothing important about it. I can sing along. The acting is not amazing, but it's so much fun. And I'll be like, yeah, stick me down to that chair and rerun Grease for 24/7.
I think
I'll be okay.
I could never pick a musical. If this quiz came up to watch a movie over for 20, I never would I pick a musical. Because
why not?
Even I am starting to think that I'm someone that just doesn't like musicals. Having said that, I might be able to watch the Broadway production of Hamilton for 24 hours. Maybe. But in every single musical I have ever seen, the one, even my favorites, My Fair Lady is one of my favorite. I love it. But
it's my favorite musical of all time, My Fair Lady.
But in 100%. Every musical that you love, there's one song that you don't like. There's always one song that just kind of, this one's on. I think it would have to be, yours. Didn't you play the Colonel at one point? You told me this.
No, I didn't. I played Higgins.
Oh, you were Higgins. Oh, well done. No, it was the Colonel song. It was, I must admit you did it. You did it. You did it. You said that you would do it. And indeed you did. Oh, it was nothing. That song. And I always thought, can we just I don't want to, if I could fast forward through my least favorite parts, fine. I'll watch a musical all day, every day. But in every musical, there's always that one song that I think, I wish they didn't leave this in. Oh, I wish this wasn't in the show. And even with Hamilton, which is one that I was blown away by Hamilton. It's so good. So the reason here, my reasoning for The Abyss is it's a movie that I consider having. You know how you have a play and you have two acts or you have three acts? I feel like The Abyss, and along the same lines, Lord of the Rings, the first one specifically, has something like eight acts. You know, it changes pace, it changes narrative, it changes even the cinema, it changes angles. And all of a sudden, it goes from this lighthearted, and we're hobbits in the show, and we're running away from this thing, and then all of a sudden it goes to a very doom and gloom, and you're like, now we're being chased by these haunted spooky dudes. But now we're in Rivendell, and everything's all magical, and it's wonderful now. And now we're being chased again, and we have to go underground, and it gets super, and now it's actually a fight scene, and it's punchy, punchy, fisty, cuffs, this and that. And it changes pace and it changes the style of movie several times. And for me, The Abyss is like this blue-collar, working, happy-go-lucky group of people at the very beginning of it. And then it's a disaster movie suddenly when they get cut off from the upstairs and they have to deal with that. And several of them get killed, you know, because of the disaster that happens and the whole place gets flooded. And now it's an emergency movie. And then the emergency movie suddenly becomes an alien contact movie. And you're like, oh my God, now it's science fiction. There's things living down at the bottom of the ocean. And then as that's happening, the military guy who's got the sickness of the pressurized sickness of the brain, he goes crazy. Then it's all of a sudden this kind of this bad guy serial killer is living amongst you, and he's trying to stop. And then it changes the style of movie like 5-6 times, and that's why I'd pick that one. Because you're not just watching one movie. You're watching a slightly different change of movie every now and then.
I do remember at the point where, is it Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio?
Yes.
Is Ed Harris is right. Well, he's telling her to keep start breathing in this bubble. So to just, and you could see the panic on her face, a bit like Tom York in No Surprises video, where as all the last bits of oxygen are expelled, and she does it, and then doesn't he have to revive her? And he gives up at one point, and everyone's like, no, and he's like, the classic, no, I'm going back for yeah. another 3 or 4 minutes.
And then suddenly, and it's an adventurous movie like that, where and it's all about bringing someone back. And then the guy, he steals the nuclear weapon and he has to go. And it's this weird, very, very quiet, silenced solo movie where it's just him dropping. Mm-hmm. When he finally drops down to the bottom of the abyss, and then it becomes an alien movie all over. I can watch that just because whenever it stops, I'd be like, yeah, let's start it again. Let's start it again. Bring it again.
I probably need to. I do remember that horrible scene where they where that crane has fallen down, and it's nestled there, and they think, oh, we got away with it, thank goodness. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of chain
the
starts
tube
to move.
Starts. And then it falls off the edge, and they go,
no, yes, that's right. Yes, I do. I have to watch that movie again.
A bizarrely well done movie for the fact that most of the people that made it hate it and never want to be reminded of being in it ever again because of how awful the circumstances were in filming that. And I think, in a weird way,
because you are a sci-fi nerd. I should have thought you'd say something like that. I went for Grease. I'm so shallow. straightforward musical.
Well, I need the director's cut as well. I don't know, if I thought more about it, there's probably a few that are up there in like the top 10, but I think I could rewatch several of those ones. The Terminator 2 was the same similar style where it changes the type of movies a couple of times.
I would watch this again, but I don't think it would have the same impact. I don't think I could watch it over and over again. Forrest Gump, I could watch. I like the way you're saying it's got some levels, The Abyss. Now, Forrest Gump, of course, has this. It's a roller coaster, and mm-hmm. you want to have a roller coaster. You want to have sadness, lightness, fun, darkness. You want to have, but you want to be left at the end of it going, well, I don't necessarily get that from Grease, but at least I could sit there and go with my eyes glued up. What was this one? This was my cozy. No, it wasn't. This is my chocolate stout from Ruth Down.
I finished that and I went back to the cozy, and I've been enjoying the cozy since. It's still not chocolatey.
Right, well, I did actually finish off my my base metal to beer concoction halfway through that when you were telling me. It actually, I quite enjoyed that.
The mix?
It did have the body and a slightly more chocolatey feel to it. Yeah. But of course, I can't mark that. The cozy from North, I gave it a 7. I'm finishing it now. I do like the body from it. Of course, it's past its best now. It's been sitting there too long. It's unexciting. 7. The chocolate stout from Roofhound. Les does some good beers. This isn't my favourite. This is a rather disappointing 6, just because it doesn't have the stout profile. It just doesn't have the body of a stout. Not the profile, the body of a stout. And I like a stout to be thicker.
I get that he's starting at 0 and adding stuff to it, but I feel like there's different ways to do it. So yeah, I think the chocolate stout Roofhound, I gave it a 7.2, just kind of low 7s, high 7s for the cozy oatmeal. But we were a little unimpressed. It would have been fun. Do you know what I noticed? And I didn't bring this up. I also have in the closet, and I'm not sure if you saved a can. I thought I gave you a spare one. Was the Beth's Black Oyster Stout is still in there.
We've done that.
We have. But yeah, I kept all my Sober Island stuff just in case we were, because I was hoping to get a conversation in with Luke, the brewmaster at Sober Island.
Look at the, just bear with me, like 5 seconds. Talk to yourself for a minute. Talk yourself.
5 whole seconds. He asks me to fill for 5 seconds. I've probably talked about this several times, is whenever I'm listening to CBC radio, I am disappointed at the amount of dead air that those I don't want to call them amateurs, because I'm fairly certain everyone's got a communications degree or something like that for what to do, but oh my goodness, they can't talk.
Filler.
They can't do filler. Well, not all of them. Not all of them. A couple of them. But on the talky here. Parts, it's so weird. Okay, you have gone and you have found a thing. What have you found?
Several months ago, many months ago now, I went through the fridge because I noted that you'd been doing quite a few podcasts sans moi when I go away on vacation or when I'm on night shift, etc.
Or when you're in a play or all three.
Right.
You're away on vacation in Scotland and in a play in Windsor at the same time. You've watched Jurassic Park one too many times and you figured out how to clone yourself. That's what's going on. You've grown yourself from an amber staff on a... Or, no, wait.
Something like that. Something, yeah. Anyway, so what I did was I went through my fridge because I thought, I've got so many here. I've got a feeling that Ross has done some of these. So I did, and I hauled them all out. At the top of the show, you said, are we getting a bit low on beers? Well, if it wasn't for the fact that I went and culled the ones that you did, my fridge wouldn't have been able to hold any more beer. So I went along and I went back through all my beers that I had in there to see whether or not you'd done them all. And funny enough, one of them was April the 30th, 2024, Lazy Bear by Royal ESB, a Royal ESB. And that was one of the ones you did when I wasn't with you, you see. So you must have done that by yourself or with someone else, which I thought, ooh, there's a problem there because I know where I don't have. So what I did was after that, because of that, Ross, because you had already done it in your show, I drank them.
Mm.
Okay, because I thought he's already done them. He's never going to look at them again.
This is what I'm confused by, because
okay,
and I went back, you and I on the same night, that would be June 22, so last June, we drank the Royal ESB from Lazy Bear Brewing, and we also drank the Crossroads ESB from Smokehouse Nano, I don't know if they're in Nano anymore, and we drank both of those. So why do I still have a can of Royal ESB if we already drank them and enjoyed them?
If I already had one as well, the reason then I went back and looked at your chart that you sent me and your database, which was fascinating, and I went back there to have a look, and of course when I saw that was gone, I thought, oh, we did that one, so therefore this rogue one is sitting in my fridge, I might as well drink it.
Yeah,
therefore when you come and say, oh, we're going to do that because I've still got one, I've already drunk the one itself. I don't know where I was going with this, but that a few of them are like that.
With every right. You have every right to drink things, and you have every right to make that because your handwritten chart is more up to date than my digital one.
Look at this one here.
The Vicolome dude. No.
Can you see... Can you see Beachstone?
Brown Stout Ton 30 Island.
Right. What? The Sober Islands Beachstone, June the 30th, 2021.
Yes.
That's when that was drunk.
Yeah.
So we did it then.
Well, we did, but I got some newer product recently because we had the Timber, the brown ale from Sober Island, because I made an order online, and they sent me Luke sent me some excellent stuff, and we've still got their barley wine to try, and I want to pick up the barley wine from Horton Ridge, and we can have a barley wine night and see how that one goes. Whew, I think we'll need Rebecca Sturgis McPherson for that.
That's explaining the reason why you still have a copy of them, a facsimile of them, and I don't, because I went that back to see and I noticed that all these things in my fridge which were already reviewed, I thought I must have missed those. They must have been nights that Ross was doing it by himself or with someone else when I was away. Ooh. So therefore I thought, that's just sitting in there going off. I might as well drink it. So the Sober Island, the Sober Island Beachstone and the Royal SB by Lazy Bear that you were looking to do tonight, it's my fault. I drank them in a fit of rage several months ago.
It's not. If we've already drunk them, then it's my fault for not remembering that. And you're free to drink whatever you like. Do you know what the funniest thing about the whole thing is? Is that we had when we invited you around as well. I think it was Friday night, Saturday night. We had a fire, a bonfire outdoors, and Brittany was going out, and she said, "Do you want me to get you anything?" And I said, "Oh, you know, fine. Just get me a quick 4-pack from the LC. Here's my favorites." And she comes back with a 4-pack of the Propeller ESBs.
Ooh. Nothing wrong with that.
So for ESB, I've got three ESBs upstairs left. I only drank one that night, so I might.
Have we said before on this podcast that if you're going to review ESBs, your benchmark is the Propeller ESB, because it's a fabulous ESB, and we've had a couple that have come close. But that one to me is limbo bar. If you can go under that, go under it. No one goes over a limbo bar. If you can get past the Propeller ESB, it's a good ESB.
Do you want to know what happened several years ago? The same night we compared the Beachstone Bitter with the Propeller ESB. And we both, I have the proof, it's right here. You and I gave the Beachstone Bitter, English Bitter, a 9. Do you want to know what we gave Propeller? 2 out of 3.
I so do.
We both gave it 2 out of 3. In comparison, with the Beachstone Bitter, the Propeller ESB did not stand up.
The Propeller is because there were 3 propellers on the... Now, if the Propeller had 9 prongs on the Propeller, would we have given it 6?
I don't know. I'm very curious. I don't think we liked it as much as the Beachstone Bitter. And I have both cans now in the house. What time is it? You need to come over and we need to settle this. Settle this as soon as possible. We'll get there. It'll happen.
I drunk it. All right. Do they still make the Beachstone? Beg your pardon. Sober Island, do they still make Beachstone?
4 flagship beers they still have, I believe. The Wavebreaker IPA, which is a pretty damn good IPA. The Beth's Black Oyster Stout, one of the best stouts there. The Beachstone Bitter, one of the best bitters I've ever had. And...
Wavebreaker down the bottom. Sober Island's Wavebreaker.
What is the 4th that I love? Oh my goodness, the Marigold Blonde, the best blonde ale in the province. Of those 4, that 4-pack of Sober Island, I'm convinced it is the greatest contribution to beer in Nova Scotia craft beer.
The holy grail of brews in Nova Scotia. Good. Sober Island.
Which is why I had such high hopes for the Timber Brown, and it sadly wasn't the best brown I've ever had. But oh well, you can't go 5 for 5. 4 out of 5 ain't bad. Just ask Meatloaf.
I don't think that's how it goes. I'm drinking me last finger. Cheers, man.
Cheers, indeed. I'm positive that's how that goes. I want you. I need you, but there ain't never any way I'm never gonna need you. Is that how that goes? No, wait. But he's never gonna need, or does he want and need but never gonna love? Okay, I'm 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Where is it? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Meatloaf lyrics. I want you, I need you, there ain't no way I'm ever gonna love you. That's it. So he wants and needs, but there's no way he's ever gonna love. And the IPA's great, and the stout's great. So 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
Nice. I like the link. I don't like Meatloaf. And on that bombshell, I'm out of here.
Oh, we could sit here and talk about Meatloaf and... Rocky Horror Picture Show for a goodly long while, but we're apparently not going to, I apologize if I had no sound for the first 40 minutes. Hopefully the Ian show carried on just fine without. I'm going to have a good time editing this one, but we'll see. You can catch us, or at least 50% of our audio every week, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. here on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find us on Facebook somewhere. And we got a Facebook page. We also got YouTube page, an Instagram, I think, and a TikTok and that stuff. You can find anywhere where Drink Nova Scotia Dry or Drink NS Dry. That's us. Or you can find our podcast on the podcasty places and go straight to the source, drinkns.unsupervised.beer. But we hopefully will. You will hear from us next week. So have a good night, everybody. And bye-bye.